All right. So if you have been gone the past couple of weeks, maybe from spring break or whatever, I wanted to kind of recap where we've been in the series, and so that you can be caught up. And so we have 2 weeks ago, Cooper came up here and he taught about really what the gospel is and the weight of it, and to open our eyes to what God has for us. And then the next week, last week, Bree and Cooper were both up here, and they were reminding us to stop hitting snooze, to stop wasting time following God, because if God is so good, if he sent his son Jesus to come down, live a perfect life, die on the cross so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, and that is true, and we believe that's true, we shouldn't be wasting time, and we should go and get after it. And so this week, when I was kind of prepping, I thought we should spend a week to look at what it really looks like to live in response to the past 2 weeks. So if God is good, if Jesus was sent and lived a perfect life and he is our Savior and we don't want to hit snooze, what's next? What is next? And so before I really get started, I wanted to take a second and remind us why I'm even up here and why the residents who decided what this series would be really even wanted to talk about this. And it is because we believe in you. And I know that's like maybe your parents like tell you that or whatever, but we truly believe in you, and we think that you can have a big impact for the kingdom of God. I really do think that middle schoolers are the most underestimated age group of people. And I am afraid that y'all also are underestimating yourself. And so we wanted to call y'all into more and more and more for the kingdom of God, because we think that what you can do will make a huge, huge impact on the kingdom of God. Like, just for a second, think. What if your small groups really were the place that you came to every Wednesday night and were equipped by your leaders and pushed by your fellow peers, and then the rest of the week you went out and treated your schools like a mission field, and every Wednesday night you came back and you told the stories of what God was doing through you and in you in your schools? I think if you really think about that, you would be surprised. We would start to see schools change, revival happen, your families change. Truly, you could impact the world for God. But before we get there, we have to remind ourselves and we have to think about how to get there. Before we run, we have to figure out how to stand. We have to figure out how to walk. And so today, I'm going to talk about kind of the fundamentals, if you will, of Christianity, the fundamentals of how to walk with God. It's kind of like in basketball. Does anybody play basketball? Hands? Okay, cool. So I used to play basketball. In basketball, the fundamentals, and I heard it so many times, dribble, pass, and shoot. Dribble, pass, and shoot. You have to know how to dribble and pass and shoot. And I was thinking about that this week, and I was like, I hated that phrase. Like, just focus on the fundamentals. Yeah, whatever, coach. But think about a basketball game where you don't dribble or you don't pass or you don't shoot. It doesn't exist. It really doesn't exist. You could try, and maybe you could come up with a different sport, but you can't play basketball without dribble, passing, and shooting. And in the same way, it is really hard to live an authentic Christian life without being in the Word and spending time with God daily and being in community. And that is what we're going to talk about today. And so let's open our Bibles to Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And so Matthew 4, 1 through 11, this is the story where Jesus was tempted by Satan. So he was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, and he was very hungry, and he was being tempted by Satan. And so in verses 1 through 3, Satan is saying, well, if you're Jesus, if you're God, then and you're hungry, then just turn the stones into bread. That's all you have to do. And Jesus responds in verse 4. Jesus answers, and it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then 5 and 6, Satan saying, well, they're at a high place. And Satan saying, well, if you're God or if you're Jesus, just throw yourself off of this cliff and then the angels will catch you. And Satan misquotes scripture in verse 6. And then in verse 7, it says, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then in verse 9, Satan saying, all this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. So Satan's saying, just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the ends of the earth, everything that you see. And Jesus says in verse 10, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So three times we see Jesus respond to Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. He is quoting scripture back at Satan. He is fighting temptation by using the word of God. And so Jesus knew the word of God. How did he know it? Because he studied it. Because he spent time with his Father. He spent time with God. And he knew the Bible. And so when it was time that Satan was tempting him, Jesus had a world view, or a view, a lens of what was happening to him through scripture. He had a lens through scripture about what was happening. And so my first point is spend time with God daily. Spend time with God daily. And before I really get into the meat of this point, I want to say from the top, I'm going to read it because it's important. Spending time with God does not make you love him more, or does not make him love you more, but it does allow you to know God more, and it is the fuel that has us and will keep us on mission. It is the fuel that will keep us on mission. So Jesus, we already talked about it, was able to fight temptation by using scripture. He saw things through the lens of scripture, and that's kind of a confusing phrase, and so let me kind of make an illustration to hopefully make more sense out of that lens idea. And so when I was 10 probably, my older brother, he's like 3.5 years older than me, he was like, he wasn't blind, but like he really couldn't see. But he didn't have glasses because like he never could see, so he didn't really know, you know? Like he had no idea that he needed glasses because he just thought everybody couldn't really see. And so he would do things like, my parents would be like, okay, can you go get that cup from the table? And there's like a long table, and he'd like walk to the wrong end of the table. They're like, are you good? And it's literally because he couldn't see the cup. Or like he did things like that all the time. He couldn't see. And it wasn't until he went to the eye doctor, and they're like, oh my gosh, you've got to get glasses. And so he put on the glasses, and all of a sudden, everything around him was clear. He was like, oh, this is amazing. What was I missing out on the whole time? Everything was clear. He could make sense of the world because all of a sudden he could see. And in the same way, when I say put on the lens of scripture, I'm saying, like, if we read the Bible, if we know the Bible, if we spend time with God, all of a sudden all the world around us starts to make sense in view of scripture. Because it talks about it. Like, the Bible is talking about what's happening now. We understand the world through the lens of scripture. And Jesus, because he knew he had the lens of scripture, when Satan was coming at him and tempting him, Jesus was able to know what was happening. Jesus was able to know what was happening and respond biblically. So I think that this point is pretty oftentimes hard. And so I'm going to walk you through kind of what I do to spend time with God. And so I do a few things, and praying is one of them. I don't want to just like gloss over that, because that is literally a chance to talk to the creator of the world. Like, praying, you are talking to God who created everything. He created you. He knows more about you than you know of yourself. And that is powerful. The other thing I do, I journal a lot. And that is really just a way to write down my prayers, write down kind of what I'm asking God or what I'm going through, and then I can look back at it and I can see what God has done for me. Because oftentimes, if I don't do that, I'll pray for him, or I'll pray for myself, or I'll pray and ask things, and God answers my prayers, but I have no idea that he's actually answering them. And then the last thing, reading scripture. Reading God's word and spending time with God by reading what he has said to us. And this is the thing that I think if we polled the room, people would say, yeah, I can pray. I pray before meals. I pray by myself before bed. And maybe I journal or I take notes or whatever it is. But I think if we polled the room, the thing that the people would say that is less consistent is reading God's word. So reading God's word. And so I wanted to give y'all a idea and a plan on how to do that more consistently going forward. And it is these three things. It is time, place, and plan. Have a time, a place, and a plan. And I know for a fact that every single leader in here in an interview was asked, hey, what's your time, what's your place, and what's your plan? And so if you have questions, go to your small group leaders. We trust them completely. They have a time, a place, and a plan. But I'm going to go through each one of those real quick to kind of give you an idea. And so the first is time. And this one's like simple. It's just have a time in a day, every day, set out to read God's word. And it's important because I, and I know probably a lot of y'all, are procrastinators. And let me tell you, the first 2 years of college for me, there was a lot of coffee that was drank at like 11:30 p.m. And I know y'all don't drink coffee, but you don't want to be the person who's drinking coffee at like 11:30 p.m. to study for a test. But that was me. And it was because I never had a time set out in my day. And so my day would go and go and go, and I'd get busy and busy and busy, or, you know, busy with Netflix. And all of a sudden, it was the night before a test. I had no plan. I was like, oh my gosh, if I don't study now, I'm never going to study. And so that is what happens in life. So it's important that you have a time. It wasn't until the last 2 years of college, all of a sudden, I planned out all my days. And I was studying ahead of time. I never had to drink coffee at 11 p.m. And so have a plan. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Have a time, a set time every day. The second thing, place. And it's really the same idea as a time, is just have a place. Know where you're going to read and know how you're going to read. Know where, like maybe it's your room. It doesn't really matter. Maybe it's your room. Maybe it's the dinner table. But have a place that you're going to read. And then the plan, the last thing. And I think that this is probably where the most people get tripped up is maybe you are in your room and you woke up early and here you go. You got a time. You got a place. And it's go time, and you have no idea where you're going to start. Like, you just have, I don't know, maybe I'll just open it up randomly and read a Psalms, which is not bad, but I think that if we do that, and we do that consistently, we're going to miss out on the fullness of what God is trying to show us. We're going to miss out on the fullness of what God has for us. So, I wanted to give y'all a plan right here, right now, so that no one here has any excuses, okay? So, it is March. There are 10 days left in March. Starting today, there are 10 days left in March. There are 10 chapters in 1st and 2nd Timothy. 1st Timothy has 5, 2nd Timothy has 5. 10 chapters, 10 days. You can read 2 books of the Bible in the next 10 days. A chapter a day. And that's all. So that is your plan. Now you have a plan, no excuses. Now you just got to think of a time and a place. And so I want to reiterate that point I said at the beginning. Time with God is the fuel that has us live on mission. And so this reminds me of a story. My wife, Bailey, in college was coming back to Dallas, where she's from, to visit her parents, and then driving back to Fayetteville, where we went to college. And that is in Arkansas. Go Hogs. We have a big game today. I'm just getting sidetracked here. But she came back, visited her family, and then was driving back. And she was running a little bit low on gas. And then the worst thing happened. She took a wrong turn off the highway, wrong exit, and ran out of gas in the middle of Arkansas. She ran out of fuel in the middle of Arkansas. Luckily, she had a phone so she could call people. But I say that story to say, if you don't read your Bible, you'll end up in the middle of Arkansas. No, that doesn't make sense. If I say that story, because it is the same thing. Like, if we don't read our Bible, though, we really will run out of fuel. We'll run out of fuel for the mission of God. We have to spend time with God daily. And the second half of that story is Bailey called a group of people, and we got in a car, we drove down there, we got gas in her car, we got her back home. And that was great. And that kind of leads to my second point, which is live life being fully known in community. Luckily, Bailey had that community come and pick her up when she ran out of fuel. And in the same way, because we are human and we're going to fall eventually, we need people to be there around us, to pick us up when we run out of fuel, when we fail, when we fall down. So, 2 verses that I think just like better than what I could say illustrate this point. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. In Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So simply put, have people around you who will bear your burden. For if you fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Have those people around you. So this is why here at Wake we have these things called small groups, and this is why we designed it to be this way, because we want you to be fully known, fully known. And when I say too, when I say live a life being fully known in community, what I'm not saying is, hey, have some good Christian friends. And having good Christian friends isn't bad. Like, don't hear me say that. But what I am really meaning is to live your life on mission and then have those people to your left and your right that are on the same mission, soldiers of God that are on the same mission as you are, to help you get and succeed and fulfill and to achieve whatever that mission is. So have soldiers devoted to the mission, the same mission, to your left and your right. And here's where I want to stop real quick. And can we put that point slide, live life being fully known in community, up? And so I want to stop and focus on one thing here. It says live your life being fully known in community. Being fully known. What that is not saying is, hey, live your life being almost known, almost fully known in community, or halfway known, or 98% known. No, no, no. It is fully known. Live your life being fully known. Here's the reality. There's probably a lot of us in this room who have confessed 98% of the sin, or 90% of the sin. Or we're in small group and we're only talking about a little bit of what we're doing, or a little bit of why we're struggling, or a little bit about what our week is looking like. And I want to say this. When you are fully known, it is the freest that you can be. When you are fully known, you are the freest that you can be. Time and time and time and time again, I'm reminded that when you are fully known, you are the freest that you can be. And so when I was in middle school, when I was your age, I was telling people 90% of what was going on. And it wasn't until high school that I was telling people 100%. And guess what was around the corner? What was around the corner when I told 100% was compassion and freedom. And so there are people in this room right now who are hiding sin. They probably have that thing. As soon as I said that, that's in their heads, or their heart is sinking, because they know what they're doing and they know their habits or their hurts or their hangups or their wounds that they haven't told anybody. And here's what, if you're that person, you need to do. Find your small group leader and tell them, talk to them, confess them, pull them aside, because you need to be free. We want you to feel the freedom that God offers. We want you to feel the freedom that God offers. So, once again, like, these things are the fundamentals of Christianity. The pass, the dribble, and the shoot. They are really the fundamentals of Christianity. And so I wanted to, before I like leave and we get out of here, I wanted to give y'all like clear action steps. And so, maybe you're that person who needs to pull your small group leader aside, or needs to pull your friends aside, and actually start to have real, authentic, fully known community. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're here for like the second time and you're like, what is the small group thing that this guy keeps talking about? He's saying small groups a lot, I have no idea. If you're that person, in the front, in the lobby, right in front of the elevators, there's a desk. After this, after we dismiss, there's going to be two people. There's going to be Rebe and Jonathan. Go and find them and then give them your name, give them like your parents' email or your parents' phone number or something, and they will get you in a small group this week. And you will gather with people your same age and your same grade and in the same area as you, and you can be living fully on mission for God in that small group, fully on mission for God. So also, think of a time and a place. I already gave you a plan if you didn't have one, so there's no excuses for that. Think of a time and a place that you can spend time with God daily. Spend time with God daily. So I want, before I pray and get out of here, I want to reiterate. The first week, Cooper was here. He said, what the gospel is, that Jesus came down, lived a perfect life. We are fallen people who there is no way we can achieve perfect righteousness without God. But luckily, God sent his son Jesus and died on the cross, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that is serious, and that is worth living in a response with. And then Bree and Cooper, 2 weeks ago, talked about stop hitting snooze. Don't wait. There's no time to wait. If God really sent his son Jesus and we really believe in that, what are we doing waiting to live our life fully devoted to God for that reason? There is no reason to wait. And this week, I'm giving you a clear path, a clear plan to live your life in response to the gospel, to worship God, to know God, to grow your relationship with God, to know the Bible more, and then to live authentically in community so that you can be on mission. I cannot overemphasize and I can't reiterate enough the idea that your small groups, like what they could be is astonishing. Like if it really could be a mission-based group. If y'all were every single week coming and getting sharpened and getting equipped and then going out into your schools as a mission field, treating your schools as a mission field because there are people in your schools who do not know God, who are not saved, and you could go there and you could change their lives. Join the small group. Come on, let's go do this mission for God. That is real. There is no time to wait. And so let's have a relationship with God. Let's be in community authentically, and let's go change the world for the mission of God. Dear Lord, we thank you for so much of what you've done. Lord, we thank you that we're gathering in this place right now, that we've done nothing to deserve, that you've given us to make your name great. And so, Lord, I pray that we steward it well, and I pray, Lord, that these students here and now will be on mission to change the world and to change their families, their schools, their small groups, to live life more on mission for you. We thank you for changing our lives, changing my life, and we pray that we can live in response to that. We love you. We thank you. In your precious name, amen.